A reading from the second book of Kings. The high priest Hilkiah informed the scribe Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Then the scribe Shaphan went to the king and reported, "Your servants have smelted down the metals available in the temple and have consigned them to the master workmen in the temple of the Lord." And the scribe Shaphan also informed the king that the priest Hilkiah had given him a book, and then read it aloud to the king. When the king heard the contents of the book of the law, he tore his garments and issued this command to Hilkiah the priest: "Achiam, son of Shaphan, Achbor, son of Micaiah, the scribe Shaphan, and the king's servant Asaiah, go, consult the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, about the stipulations of this book that has been found. For the anger of the Lord has been set furiously ablaze against us, because our fathers did not obey the stipulations of this book, nor fulfill our written obligations." The king then had all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem summoned together before him. The king went up to the temple of the Lord with all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, priests, prophets, and all the people, small and great. And he had the entire contents of the book of the covenant that had been found in the temple of the Lord read out to them. Standing by the column, the king made a covenant before the Lord that they would follow him and observe his ordinances, statutes, and decrees with their whole hearts and souls, thus reviving the terms of the covenant which were written in this book. And all the people stood as participants in the covenant. Well, for the last couple of weeks at Mass, we have been reading lots of Jewish history from the books of Kings, and I guess it can seem rather dreary reading about all of these kings and their doings, mostly wrongdoings, although there were some good people among them and some wise prophets. It may help to know that what the writers of these books were trying to do was to explain to the people just why the catastrophe of the Babylonian exile had happened, that it was God's way of punishing the nation of Israel for seemingly abandoning the relationship with God. But what on earth has it got to do with us? And why have we been hearing about all these obscure people and places when we're at Mass at this time of the year? I guess one interesting thing about the story is that it seems the entire holy book of the Jews has been lost for quite a long time. In the parts we haven't read today, we hear about the temples of Baal and Astarte and other non-Jewish gods that the people had been worshipping, and the various cultic practices that they had got into the habit of. Why? Well, who knows? But that would help explain the loss of the holy book. Lost on purpose or lost by accident? Don't know. The crucial part of today's reading is that it's found again. And there happens to be a king on the throne, Josiah by name, who recognizes it for what it is and determines to renew the covenant. It seems to me that people today have pretty much lost sight of the holy book. Have you heard about the woman who visited a jewelry shop to buy a crucifix? And the shop assistant asked her, "Do you want the plain one or the one with the little man on it?" I've heard a version of that story about three times. So many people have no idea what the crucifix is. And art teachers tell of the huge difficulties they have teaching kids about Renaissance art. Even some parts of the church have drifted away from the essence of the gospel message. Why is it? Why are people, both now and in ancient times, so ready to forget the important things? Well, part of the answer, I think, lies in those cultic practices that became so attractive to the Israelites in ancient times. Pretty things, attractive things, gold and silver and rich fabrics, interesting activities, dancing and fires and extravagant deeds, build a temple, make a golden chariot, wear gorgeous garments, perform rituals on the mountain at dawn. By comparison, what does the Holy Book tell the people? Live simply. Don't use power over others. Look after one another. Live decent lives. Be hospitable. Take what you need, no more. Show compassion. Be present to God. Now, today we may not worship Baal and Asherah and Moloch, but we are equally drawn to extravagance, to power, to superficial things, to self. Increase the profit, whatever the cost. Follow the pleasure principle. If it can be done, then do it and make a profit out of it. Spend, gamble, enjoy, exploit. Avoid commitments. And in the church, we have seen abuse of power at every level, affirming the ritualistic and the devotional at the expense of the just and the good, emphasizing the rules and censuring the wrongdoer rather than affirming the seeker, inspiring the pilgrim, bolstering what is truly human, and bringing understanding and compassion to the lives of all who search for God. It's time someone rediscovered the Holy Book. Who will it be? The saddest story of the year. 800 women representing thousands throughout the world doing God's work met in Rome, but the Pope could not visit them. Instead, he visited the shrine of Mary in Fatima. Do you think that's sad? I do.